Hey everybody, welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl Jessie May. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm in my childhood bedroom, packing to go back to LA. Well, before I go back to LA, my mother and I are going to go to the gym together because that's how we roll. Her and I show up to the gym just in our adorable outfits. Nancy puts on a full face of makeup for the gym because she's not fucking around. And we look for new husbands. It's a sport. My mother gets it on at the gym more than anyone I've ever seen in my life. And we just have a great time. So that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to head back to LA and just live my life. But I've been out here. I was doing shows in Miami. Shout out to everybody who came to shows in Key West in Miami. You guys can hear my voice because I just woke up within the hour. I was like, oh, let me podcast real quick. I woke up within the hour. And thanks to everybody who came to my Albany shows. We had a great time in Albany. The new club that opened across the hallway from Albany, the Funny Bone. It's a music club, and the guitarist from The Doors was playing the night I was trying to tell jokes. So basically my jokes were interrupted by The Doors guitarist. So there's that. Living my truth. I haven't had coffee yet. I don't know if you can tell. But yeah, we had a great weekend with Marty Caproni, my brother from another mother, and Mackenzie, who was there hosting with us. So we had a fun time. We went kayaking. We natured so hard. We went to the Hudson River, which I would not recommend letting your skin touch. I have to be honest, that river water got in my mouth on accident, and now I smell like river rot, just consistent river rot. We went kayaking so hard. I think my favorite part of the kayaking was when Marty rowed up to a couple of these guys who were fishing, and they had a rather large fish in their hand, and Marty goes, "Did you get that here?" And the guy said, "No, I brought it from home." Did you get that from here? Where do you think he got it, Marty? Come on. Where the fuck do you think he got it? You know, he's on the river. You think the fish just was in the bushes? Oh, I got high in a kayak this weekend. It was wonderful. It was really delightful. Just a be in nature for a little bit. Man, you need that. You forget how much you need that. We're constantly inundated with, you know, technological devices and data and coding and algorithms that just to get back to trees is pleasant. Speaking of trees, I'm going to get high and go to the gym, and I cannot fucking wait. I am going to be, let's see, live. Where can you see me live? Well, June 21st, the longest day, summer solstice, I'm going to be hosting on Confetti on Facebook Live, Facebook Live's version of HQ Trivia. So if you want a chance to win some money, watch me on Confetti on Facebook Live, June 21st. And August 8th, 9th, and 10th, I believe, I'm going to be at the Omaha Funny Bone. Come check that out. I've added a bunch of college dates. I'm going to be doing a little mini college tour in Pennsylvania in September. The end of July, 17th to the 26th, I will be at the Montreal Comedy Festival, JFL. I'll be doing the entire festival. So if you've ever been there, it's a lot of fun. And if you're ever looking to travel to a beautiful city that's not too far from the United States, Montreal is just a beautiful, beautiful city. I'm going to be at the Albright College in Reading, Pennsylvania, September 10th. I'm going to be in Scranton University, September 12th. I'm putting something from, I think I'm going to be doing Pleasantville, New York in September. A bunch of other dates. KC Improv, September 19th. University of Kansas, September 20th. A bunch of dates, a bunch of opportunities to see me. JessieMay.com for tickets. Come see your girl live. And you guys should know a portion of ticket sales go towards the Alzheimer's Association. And don't forget to check out the Alzheimer's Association Longest Day Ever for June 21st, where you can yourself do a little bit of charity and fundraising for the Alzheimer's Association. I read this really interesting article about Pfizer that my friend Christopher McClure sent to me, and about a rheumatoid arthritis drug, Enbrel, I think, that they discovered could help reverse and even prevent Alzheimer's disease. But Pfizer decided to not do the trials because they wouldn't make money, because the drug is ending its 20-year patent, and that's when generic drugs can come up, and they don't make as much money off of their initial drug. So, hey, there's some uplifting news for you guys. The one thing keeping us from discovering preventative measures and maybe some medications to help people who have been suffering for a long time, money. Money, 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 money. Money's not even real. Money's just a concept that a bunch of quote-unquote rich dudes created to make us all feel inferior so they can control us like lambs. You guys know that story. Fuck. Let's just live in a van down by the river. I think that's what we need to do. I just want to live in a cabin in the woods with my llama farm and just be, that's it. That's all I want. I keep getting these fucking emails about Father's Day deals, and I want to be like, hey guys, mine's dead, so I won't be buying those socks that you have on sale, because my dad doesn't have any ankles. I literally have screenshot at least 3 of the Father's Day emails that I've gotten just for the holiday sale. They have it. I'm going to make a collage and put it on Instagram. Shout out to anybody who's in the Dead Dads Club. This is my first Father's Day without him. I will be in Vegas, so I feel like I'll be, you know, he'll be there in spirit because my father loved to gamble, and I'll be with my sister. So we're just going to go and like gamble like crazy in his honor and just, you know, represent the Dead Dads Club to the thickest as much as we can. Shout out to anybody in the Dead Dads Club. You're not alone, okay? Well, you're not alone. Your dad might be right behind you. Just kidding. He's dead. Or his ghost might be there. I don't know. Let me know. Send me in your ghost stories. You know, we're still doing this bitch segments about bitches in your life. They could be male or female that treat you wrong. Maybe, you know, there's an incident in your life where something happens with another person and you're like, this bitch. I want to hear those stories. Send those stories to me. I'm going to do another this bitch segment next week for the next Sharp Tongue podcast episode. Email those to jessiemay@mac.com, and in the subject title, put this bitch and tell me a quick story about somebody who treated you wrong, and I can give you some advice on it. Because you know what? I am the poor girl's Tony Robbins. I'm a budget life coach. You can't afford a real one? Come to me. I'll give you some budget-ass advice. And I'm excited about this week's episode. I got to sit down with one of my favorite people from the Comedy Store, and he's just a delightful human being. You know, sometimes there's cunts and then there's delightful people. He's the latter. He's a delightful person, very funny, always smiling, and is just, his energy is amazing. And we have a lot in common, kind of like that episode with Eric Rivera. I realized how much I have in common with this particular individual. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode with the very funny Mr. Frank Castillo. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You'll probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh.
The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. What's up, everybody? We're back in action on the Sharp Tongue Podcast. It's your girl, Jessie Mae. I am excited to bring you a cool discount for Hakuna Supply. You guys know I've got my stash boxes, my stash jars, rolling trays, grinders for all of your herb needs. Or you could put your jewelry in it. Or the jars you can store cotton balls in. Hey, you don't have to be a pot smoker to contribute to the Jessie Mae Fund. But by purchasing something from Hakuna Supply, you're also giving back because we've aligned ourselves with a couple different charities. HakunaSupply.com/Jessie Mae. And if you use code Jessie Mae CBD, you get 15% off your entire purchase. They also have really delicious CBD-infused coffee. They actually have teas that are infused with CBD and CBD flower. I don't know if you guys knew that CBD comes from a plant and you can actually smoke it just like you smoke marijuana, minus the high effect. It gives you an overall a feeling of well-being, kind of. It's just, gets you so you don't swear at people in the grocery store line. They also have just a whole bunch of stuff for your needs. So Jessie Mae CBD is the code. HakunaSupply.com/Jessie Mae is the website. Coming with us this week, we have the infamous, the adorable, the hilarious Frank Castillo.
Hello.
Hello. How many people say Castillo?
A lot. I'm actually surprised at how many people say Castillo.
Castillo.
Yeah, they nail it. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a good job.
I have some Spanish friends.
Oh, okay.
And I have a respect for when there's a couple letters in a name that's non-white that I ask if I'm saying it right. And this time I was 99% confident because I had Dustin Ibarra on before. And I was like, is it the roll? Are we rolling these R's, bro?
I can't roll my R's, which is so embarrassing.
You can't?
I can't.
Are you from here?
I'm from California. My whole family speaks Spanish.
Do you?
I don't. It's just like the other Mexican side of my family was like, nah, he's got to speak English. Trust me. We know what's coming. He's just got to speak English.
You don't speak it at all.
I speak a little bit, but I don't have like the accent or anything. Like some of my aunts are very like just thick accent.
Yeah.
And then like one whole side. Like I have one whole side that's very traditional, one whole side that's very like Mexican, like East LA. Yeah.
So both of your parents are from?
America. Yeah.
And then
my grandparents.
Grandparents are from Mexico.
Yeah. On one side, the other ones, it's like they're from Hayward. You know what I mean? And then like two generations before that, then they're from Mexico.
That's wild, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
how long have you been doing stand-up
for? I've been doing it for, I started when I was 21.
So 3 years.
Yeah. I wish. I turned 30 on the 26th.
Oh, you're fine.
I know.
You're totally fine. Yeah. 30 still feels like, there's so much future left.
Yeah.
Wait till you get to like 35, you're like, fuck.
I literally had made a joke about how like I was like from like 30 and then like to 32, it's like, you gotta have something by 32.
You better have some shit figured out by 32.
I have a friend who like went to like had a real bad like drug problem where I ran out of high school, and I remember all of us were just like,
oh
man. And now she like has turned her whole life around.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's a like, good time to get a drug problem.
For real. No, she turned her whole life around. Like she like her kids back in her life. She's like killing it, and we're all like super proud of her. And there's like a part of me that's like, damn, she fucking did it.
You know what I mean?
Like she fucking 10-year switch. Like, man, that's a great way to just be like, I'm still on top.
You know? That's a great time to have a drug issue because you still have time to sort of
100%
rehabilitate yourself.
Yeah, it was.
But if we get into it, like if I were to start meth now.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
So done.
My dogs are gone.
Uh-uh.
They're taking my dogs.
Uh-huh.
Anytime where you do something where somebody has to confiscate your animals, you're done.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know? Like, kids is one thing, but if they, like, take your emotional support ferret.
Fluffy? Ugh. Not Fluffy.
Fucking Fluffy. How long have you been at the store?
I've been working at the store since I was 25? Yeah, 25.
I feel like you're kind of like the... You're kind of like the mayor there for me.
That's so funny. A lot of people, not like mayor there, but a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like young, not like young people, but a lot, because I'm at this like interesting period of like being not in the middle, but like kind of just.
You're a staple there.
Yeah.
You really are, you know, and I feel like because you're working there and you're doing comedy, there's so many, like people don't realize like so many of the door people and people who work at the store actually are involved in trying to be stand-ups or doing comedy. But you know, your whole ride has been
Yeah.
Unique.
Yeah, people really rock with it. It's interesting. Anytime I go to like another club, there's always like a manager who's like, I know who you are. And it's not because of like, they just know the story. They're like, you still work at the store? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh my God. And they're like, they'll introduce me to their young guys that are comics too. It's a weird thing of like weird respect.
Yeah.
And I really like that. My dad loves that too. I talk to him, like he talks to me about that all the time. Like when he comes to the store, he's very proud of me. Like he's always proud of me, but he's like, the thing that I'm the most proud of is like when I come to the store, people are like, your son's cool.
Yeah.
You have a good son. And they like dap him up. And he loves, he's like super machismo Mexican. So he fucking loves that shit. You know what I mean? He's like,
I don't know why that makes me laugh thinking of your dad. Like,
have you seen him? He's like 6'7", Dodgers outfits all the time.
6'7"?
He's not 6'7". He's like,
what?
He's like 6 feet.
Okay.
He just Dodgers outfits all the time. He looks like a cholo. And it's the funniest thing. He looks like he just got out of San Quentin. It's hilarious.
What's his name?
Frank Castillo.
Oh, you're Junior.
No, I'm Frank Anthony Castillo because he didn't want me to be a junior.
Rude.
Well, only because he was just like, Mexicans and Navy's juniors. It's like he just didn't want me to have to go through bullshit like that.
Right, within the culture 100%. Of dealing with people's talking shit.
Yeah. But like, I'm always like Frankie, and he's always going to be Frank.
That's adorable. What does your dad do?
He works at Safeway. He manages like the dairy department of Safeway, and his kids are out of town. Like, all of his kids don't live at home, and he's just like, he's fucking...
Is he loving it?
Oh, he loves it.
Just loves his life?
But also, it's really interesting because he's a big barfly. He's just a fucking dude's dude. He loves knocking him back, playing
sounds
pulling
like my
shit.
Dad.
Yeah, my dad is like every other dad's like best friend. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. Anytime I introduce my parents to other people's parents, because it's usually like you meet people's parents and they're like very well to do. They have like
ties they're proper. They've become adults.
Exactly. Like my dad comes in, he's very much still like you're like, yo, does this dude like an RA at a college? Like what the fuck's going on? Like it's so funny,
Frank.
Dude. He's blows my mind sometimes.
What does your mom do?
My mom she doesn't work. She raises two kids.
Oh, that's nice.
They're separated.
Yeah.
So my mom's remarried. She has two young kids.
Whoa, how young?
Yeah, 9 and 11. Yeah, they're
that's bizarre.
Yeah, they're hilarious. It was like I remember me and my mom. We didn't get into it, but we talk shit to each other all the time because she's a huge shit talker.
That's nice.
So like when I was 18, when she had my first sister. So
that's
my first sibling.
Strange.
So I was just remember looking at her and I was just like, you know, I was like, bro, it's me that's supposed to get a girl pregnant. You know what I mean? You're not the one supposed to have kids at 18 right
and
now.
And also
you know?
Like, it's been 18 years since a baby has traveled through your womb.
I'm like, yo, you were almost out.
Yeah,
what happened?
You're almost out of the game. Your body was like, okay, your body literally is like sweeping up the the room, you know, just cleaning up the locker room, hanging up the jersey, and then it's like, well, I guess we're putting this jersey back on.
Coming back in.
We're coming back in.
And my siblings are my favorite. They're so funny. I have three of them total. Melina, Ace, and Maceo.
Are they all like half siblings?
Yeah, but you know, Mexicans.
It's the same. It's all the same thing.
But they're hilarious. They call me all the time. Like my little brother wants to be a comedian.
Oh no,
bro! It's like
we don't need any more. Tell them we're good. Tell them we're stocked.
Dude, my mom like she tells me she's like I can't handle this kid sometimes.
Because he's
like,
such a shit talker,
and he just is just ridiculous all the time. Like they were chilling, and apparently like they were like on a walk, and like my mom was like walking with him, and he was walking behind her, and she was like, "Oh my god, a bug!" And then she was just like, "All right, whatever." And they just kept walking. And he goes, "Mom, butterflies don't taste like butter." And my mom was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I ate like two butterflies. And like, so my mom's like rushing him upstairs and like worried sick, like calling the doctor and stuff. And then my little brother just starts laughing. He's like, I didn't eat anything.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Creepy. He's the worst. But it's so funny. He's just like, dude.
Well, he gets it from her.
Yeah, he happens. Really does. Like, there was like a time where like, I remember my little sister and my brother were sitting there. And my little brother was like, what should we get mom for Christmas? And my sister was like, a fucking minute. And my mom was like,
that is so funny.
Because she also cusses so much in front of the kids. And she's like, this kid said fuck the other day. I'm like, you realize
they pick up
you
everything.
Say fuck all the time.
I remember my nephew when he was like, Isaiah was like 3. And it was Christmas time. And we're all sitting. We're all having like, you know, those white Russians.
Yeah.
Real like classic holiday drink. And my mom, Isaiah's on my mom's lap. And Krista, his mom, is next to her. And we're just showing how smart he is. We're like, what does a cow say? And he's like, moo. And we're like, what does a cat say? And he says, meow. And what does a pig say? And he said, oink, oink. And I was like, what does mommy say? And he said, bad words. Like, man, little kids, they know.
Dude, they do.
They know what's up.
They're so, I mean, I want kids eventually, but it's like, I love doing the stand-up stuff. That it's like, I know it's not going to happen for a while. My fiance also doesn't want to have kids for a while
pause
either.
Pause that.
Yeah.
Wait, like another decade.
Yeah, my dad straight up told me, he was like, I'm ready to be a grandfather.
Wait a decade. Like, dudes, you guys are good.
Absolutely.
You can be a dad in your 70s. Oh, it's weird.
I'll adopt. Yeah.
Adopt, whatever. But you could be like an old ass dad. Mm-hmm. Old moms just look like witches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like.
They got a cauldron.
Well, yeah. Women, we don't have the same past that you guys get. It's like, what is that lady doing? It's selfish. And then you see a dude who has a kid. Good for him. He's still knocking it out. Still stuffing the sausage.
I want to be an old dad because then it's like, I want to be able to be dead by the time I got to pay for college.
Genius logic. Perfect. Good luck, kid. Good luck trying to put yourself through school.
How old are your, do you hang out with your parents? Do you smoke weed with them?
My dad's dead, but I still hang out with him. Yeah. We talk.
Yeah.
My mom and I, we definitely hang out. I'm actually flying her out to LA in a couple weeks to hang out with me.
That's great.
She'll rearrange all my fucking cupboards. She'll clean out my closet.
My mom does the same thing.
Right? They can't, but I love it.
My mom absolutely sent me,
did I bring it? Oh man, I might have not brought it. My mom sent me a Easter basket.
Oh my God.
With like 17 pairs of socks, candy, towels, and I love it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I love those like little touches.
You know, they're great.
Those are the touches that keep you from becoming a stripper.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my parents are separated too. How old were you when your parents separated?
My parents were, well, this is the thing. I was like really young when they separated, but they were still in the same town and they were still very involved in each other's lives. So like, it was like, I got to see what it was like for like a single dad and like a single mom, but I would still be very much like a part. And it wasn't until I was like 18 that I met like my friend who also came from like a broken home, but like his parents got along. So like, I remember being at his house, sitting in his living room with his stepmom and his dad, and his mom walks in with a thing of laundry, and then she goes into the like garage to do laundry. And then I was like, oh shit, they're gonna fight. And he was like, no, they all get along. And I was like, I just remember getting so mad. Like, I was like, wait.
There should be a fight here.
You could just get along.
Yeah, you can break up and everything's better.
Like, fine. And I just remember being back to my mom. I was like, you know, they fucking get along. It was hysterical.
Right down the street.
They're just walking
right
in.
Down the street. They're getting along. What the hell's wrong with you guys?
It was hysterical.
What do you think, like, do you have that point where you think you were, like, looking back, you became a comedian or you knew you wanted to be a comedian?
I think it was a long time coming because it was like, my dad is, I'm probably like the fifth funniest person in my family. Like, my dad's hysterical. My mom's really, really funny. And I think just them together, it's just ridiculous. But also, I think a lot of it is just coming from a big family.
Yeah.
So it's like when you come from a big, big family, like, because I have so many fucking Mexicans in my family. But it used to be like my grandparents' house is where we'd all hang out. So it was like six different families because I come from like
generation wise.
No. My dad's family has literally like 9 siblings.
Wow. Yeah, that was my dad's family too.
Yeah, it was literally like the Mexican Brady Bunch. Like, my grandmother met my grandfather and they each had kids. So when they came, it was ridiculous.
That's fun though.
It was great. So there was a lot of cousins and it was almost like you had to be funny.
And
to
you had
get
a roast, I would imagine.
Oh yeah. Everyone was so fucking mean. It was ridiculous.
Do you think like you just have a natural knack for roasting because of that?
Absolutely. Mostly because my mom would always like, we would just talk shit to each other. Like, me and my mom talk shit. My dad talk shit. Like, we would all just like tease each other. And it was like, you couldn't have like a soft skin in my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause everyone would be like, no one wants like, it was like fucking Frank's crying to grandma. You know what I mean? Like, it was, if you ran to grandma, everyone was like,
oh, then you got roasted more.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're not letting you play with our Legos.
You should do a special where you and your mom roast each other.
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous.
I would love to see that.
I would just post all my text messages.
Do you guys do that? We text each other
all the time. But her thing is, she's very like, she's always like, she's on Facebook way too much, and she's always like, any little thing about like immigration or anything, she's like, they're fucking coming to get us. It's starting. It's happening right now. Look,
she's
and I'm
an
like,
American citizen. 100.
I'm like, yo, this is not. I was like, mom, that doesn't really. She's like, well, but it's gonna happen. And I'm just like, yo, it's just, anytime I like try to talk to her,
they're coming and get us,
dude. Anytime I try to like correct her or anything, she's just like, you just don't know our history, man. And I'm just like. It's the funniest stuff. I remember, like, I was making fun of her, and I was like, "Mom, I know our history." She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "But all," she was like, "Yeah, but your best," the person that moved across the street from us, we're convinced is like does drugs because they're always just kind of weird. So I always crack jokes that like her best friend's a meth head. She just could just be an old alcoholic. I don't know. She just seems always.
She
weird.
She could just be a regular day drinker.
She could just be a regular day drinker. Just a day drinker. But she's always just weird. I remember I said that to my mom. She was like, "Hey, I'm not friends with a meth head. All right, she's just great to talk to." And I just started dying. Dude, she's hilarious.
My mom and I, now that I think of it, we kind of do, we not so much bust each other's balls, but we definitely talk back to one another.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, she has that, like, she's like sardonic and has a little bit of that, like, sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, like, it hits you, like, it's a ripple effect.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she'll say something and you won't realize what she meant until you're out of the house. You're like, did she just call me a slut on the DL? Did I just get hate crimed by my mom in the kitchen? What just happened?
My mom's go-to is like, "Man, if I was you living in Los Angeles having free time, I'd be playing basketball every day. I'd be going to the gym. I'd be like hiking." You know what I mean? Like, "Mom, those are all exercises. Are you trying to tell me that I'm fat? Do you want me to lose weight? Is that what you're saying?" And she's like, nah, but like, you should go see what's happening at the rec center.
You should go just, you know, break a sweat.
Yeah.
You should just be out in life just breaking a sweat.
She's hilarious.
That's all you should be doing. Were you, when you did the Roast Battle show, was that the first TV experience you had?
Yeah, first TV experience ever.
That's kind of a...
Yeah.
You know?
It was like a debutante.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was like a...
For
someone,
one time.
Someone compared it to, they're like, you did like the Super Bowl.
Yeah. For your first time on TV to do that type of show with that kind of audience and, you know, under the umbrella of Jeff Ross and all
like
that.
The pressure and all that.
No pressure.
Everybody was there too. So it was like, it was ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
Like John...
It's like boot camp. It is.
Yeah, it really was. It was like John Hamm was there, Chappelle, like
John
everybody.
Hamm.
I got to talk to him afterwards.
I had a dream about John Hamm.
He's amazing.
I'm just saying. Is he really nice?
Oh my God, the sweetest guy in the world.
No!
I was in the back. I had like the trophy and like everyone was there, all my friends. And I was just like, I was, you know, just on the high. And the guy comes up and he was just like, "Frank." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I turned and it was John Hamm. And I was like, "I'm John." I'm like, "I know who you are." I was like, "You're John Hamm." And he's
was
like,
"Was he
yeah.
as tall as you?"
No, he was so tall.
Ugh.
So tall. So tall. So sweet, genuine. Just shook my hand. He was like, "You did a really good job, man. That was so fun." I was like, "Thank you so much." He's like really good friends with Todd Barry.
He is?
Yeah.
How does he smell?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
He smells so good.
He looks
good.
Like he'd smell good.
He was just like, "You know, I see a lot of improv, Bob." He's like, "But that was really good, man. You know, he's like really, really fun." I was like,
"So I need to do improv now?"
Thank you,
I don't
John
know.
Hamm.
I don't know if I can, if I love John Hamm enough
my
to
other
do
friend
improv.
Is my other friend is a huge John Hamm fan. He couldn't even stand in the same room
a
as
guy?
Him. Yeah, he was like, "I just want to see his penis." And I'm like, that's
listen, the bulge is a sitch.
I've heard.
Have you seen the photos?
I've seen the photos, but also like it's like a Hollywood's like most well-known secret that John Hamm is packing.
He's got a ham.
He's got a ham.
Yeah,
you know
he's
I mean?
Got. He does have a hammer down
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
I mean,
crazy.
And that's not why I am into it.
Oh, of course not. Have you seen Mad Men? It's great.
He's a great actor.
Great actor.
And he seems very funny.
Sweet guy.
Yeah, very sweet. He came up
sweet
and congratulated
guy.
You.
Yeah.
He was raised with manners.
Uh huh. Definitely a move of a guy who's got over 8 inches. You know what I mean?
If you want to know if a guy is well endowed, how respectful is he?
100%. You're just like,
you just have to judge how he treats you.
That
in
dude
public.
Fucks.
And also, he put it in your hand.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He was like, "My name's John Hamm." I'm just like, "Oh, this is great."
It's still unrolling.
That's
he was
hilarious.
Just like this, and it was just unrolling.
I brought
all the
my
way
mom.
Down.
My mom was there for that whole taping, and that was hysterical.
Did she meet John Hamm too?
She got to meet John Hamm. She got to meet everybody.
Son of a
the
bitch.
Funniest thing. Who was she? She got to meet pretty much everybody, and then like I remember she met Anthony Jeselnik, and she was like, "Oh my God, you're gorgeous."
She called Anthony Jeselnik gorgeous,
and I was just sitting there like, "Oh my God, that's hysterical." And then he was just like, "I know," and it was just so funny.
Yeah, he I think Anthony just takes compliments.
Oh, he's
just,
the best.
You know,
he's oh,
like,
sweet
yeah,
guy,
I am.
Sweet guy. He Anthony, he's a really cool dude too. And then she got to meet Snoop Dogg.
I love Snoop.
Amazing guy.
Snoop is he's so like when you hug him, you can touch your elbows because
mm-hmm.
he's so thin.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, "What up, Shawty?"
Yeah, there was like a great moment that they had where they prayed together. It was beautiful.
They prayed together.
Yeah, man.
Your mom prayed with Snoop Dogg.
Yes, my mom is like a.
You
huge...
sure he wasn't blowing like he was having her smoke a joint
yeah,
through
yeah.
his hands? And
they all,
like...
we all smoked a joint together. It was great.
Did you?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I think you've made it if you smoked a Snoop.
My mom is a huge Snoop Dogg fan, and she also like used to sneak out and go to his concerts when she was a girl. So like her being there and her smoking weed with Snoop Dogg, that was better than me like. Like, I could, if I never become successful, if I never have a special, if I never do anything ever again, like, me getting to smoke with my mom and Snoop Dogg, like, that was like, boom, this is it.
That's awesome. Yeah,
she loved it.
That's amazing when you can have those little moments with your parents.
Yeah.
You know, having your parents just see you achieve any sort of milestone in your career is the validating
factor. Oh, absolutely.
Because it's such a hard career.
100%. Also, my mom mostly wanted me to do hair growing up. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say heroin. I was what? My brain finished the rest of that. I was like, your mom wanted to see you do heroin.
She's like,
what
you should be
hell?
Doing heroin right now. That's crazy.
You need to go hiking and do heroin. She's like trying to just keep you balanced. Yeah. Exercise, heroin.
Her at a party with a bunch of like industry people was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Well, because like we get up there and I'm like, hey, mom, just like I need you to.
Yeah,
just
not.
You know,
I need you to not
just be, you know, just like be, you know, you can have fun, you know, just I just need you, you know, just be cool.
Chill.
She was like, no problem. And then I didn't see her for like an hour and a half. And throughout the party, I'm like saying hi to people, and they're coming up to me, and there was like, I just met your mom. She's so sweet. I'm like, oh my god, where'd you meet her? They're like, we met her in the bathroom, and everyone's story was about how sweet my mom was and how they met in the bathroom. And I'm like, is my mom doing cocaine in the bathroom?
Yes. Your mom has a side hustle in the bathroom at the roast battle, and I support it wholeheartedly.
Hysterical.
I really support it wholeheartedly.
She's like, I got you booked throughout May.
Did you do, like, after that show aired and you taped it, like, what changed for you?
A lot of things. Mostly how people treated me.
Like how? Like, what was it before and how was it after?
Before, Willie Hunter said it perfectly. He was like, Frank was the most famous door guy to become famous. Not famous, but become known while being a door guy.
Yeah.
So it was very like, you know, and so being a door guy, people treat you a certain way. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're just like,
tell people like what the door guy
so
like
when you're a door guy
store.
You know, you're working minimum wage, you're taking out trashes, you're fucking clean up throw up, you know, you're hoping that you get a spot. You usually get development spots, you're in the system and stuff, and sometimes if you're cool with the producers, they'll toss you up.
Yeah.
And most of the time I'll just ask a producer, I'll just go up and be like, hey, is there any way you just have an extra spot, can I open up the show, can we start a little early? Some people are really cool, some people are just like kind of like not
right,
like they're just assholes because they're like, oh whatever, I'm not gonna put you up, you're not,
you're just a door guy.
You're just a door guy. You're not an important person. You know what I mean? And then, like, winning changed a lot of things. And then also when people see you prove yourself, people start to rock with you. So, like, Rogan hit me up. Like, Jesna could take me out for a date. A lot of people took me out on the road. So people started taking me seriously, which is great.
Yes, because it takes a long time to get to that point. 100%.
So at the store, it kind of changed where, like, producers were more willing to toss me spots, or they were a lot nicer to me, or some nothing changed. Where I was like, all right, whatever. It's fine. Yeah,
but
I'm not
gonna... There's some beauty in people just being consistent assholes.
100%. We were like, all right, cool, whatever. But a lot of comics were a lot cooler to me, and that was the best part. And then there's also this weird respect of, like, it's like, you know, I still work at the store, and if someone drops out in, like, a ballet room show, and they're like, we need someone, they're like, oh, fucking sweet, we can put Frank up.
Yeah,
and that's a great position to be in.
Yes.
Because, like, I think, like, last month I ended up not having anything on the road or any other shows, and I'm just like, oh man, this sucks. But I ended up working at the store, and I ended up getting up almost every night because someone just wasn't there.
Yep, that always happens.
And it was just like, oh my god, that's perfect. Like, I got up 7 days in a row.
Dude.
And it was just like, oh, this is sweet.
Putting in those reps.
And it just happens.
Yeah.
So working at the store is great, but my favorite is whenever there's a new person that shows up, and if they know who I am, it's cool. Because they're like, hey, Mr. Castillo, is it cool if I'm just like, Mr. Castillo?
You're like, it was my dad.
Yeah, I'm like, that's just call me Frank. And they're like, all right,
am
cool.
I at Safeway right
no
now?
No problem, Mr. Frank Castillo. I'm like, that's not just, you can, it's adorable. Because it's like the person, like, it's a comic that, like, you know, they, there's a few different kinds of comics that show up at the store. There's some that get there and they realize what it is, and they're very respectful. And they're nice to the door guys, and they're like, cool. And they're chill. They know how to be.
Right. They just, like, they get in, they mix it.
You know what
they
I mean?
Mix
in. And there's other people who are like, clear goal to whatever.
Oh,
and
God.
They're just like assholes to the dude in the back because they don't know. Like, I remember I've worked the door for a roast battle, and people have walked up and they're like, I'm battling tonight. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Like, that's a great, you're getting better. You're doing something that you love. People who think they're above anything drives me nuts.
It's insane.
Like, at any point, you can be chopped down to nothing.
I've seen it.
And just to have that attitude, like, you deserve a certain respect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because of how I was raised, but My mom always raised me to just treat everybody the same and be very respectful.
Be nice.
Be nice.
Yeah.
It's kindness is free.
Yeah.
You know, there are those moments where fuckers deserve a little bit of truth.
Oh, 100%.
Some truth bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
And a little bit of spice. Sometimes 100%. You got to kick in the spice a little bit. But for the most part, you got to keep it copacetic.
Yeah.
You also never know where someone's coming from. Like, say, you know, I know you. You're very nice. Mm-hmm. And you're fun to talk to. And we always shoot the shit. Maybe I come up to you and you're having a bad day, which hasn't happened. But I'm just saying, for argument's sake, I'm not going to change how I'm reacting to you. Like, I'm going to keep myself cool and try and, like, help you through your moment. Because you might be going through some shit.
Yeah, 100%. Everything changes.
I think people lose that perspective. Mm-hmm. And they think they're entitled to shit.
Oh, it's crazy, man.
And entitlement isn't reserved for people. It's not reserved for any race or any class. People can have this entitlement.
You can feel it. Yeah.
You can feel it through any sort of, you know, background.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, there's a special type of entitlement with new comics.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, isn't there?
This is like, no one's checked you. And that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's coming soon.
Oh, man.
And you haven't bombed yet.
Oh, man.
You know, comedians, like, they're so new, they don't realize that they're the harshest bomb years are just right around the corner.
Yeah, man. It's not delusion. It's this...
it is.
Awareness. It's an awareness.
Yes.
It's an awareness where it's like, they're just like, that didn't go well. I wonder why. And then there gets to a point where you're like, that didn't go well, and I know why.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the thing a lot of people don't learn or, like, understand. And, man, it is my fate. Like, I'm hosting potluck tonight. I fucking love that. It is my favorite. Because one, it's like I will build every single person up and give them a great chance.
Right.
And then if they don't do well, I will make fun of them.
Yes.
Only because it's like the audience is going to laugh. And then it's this weird thing of like I've made fun of people and been completely joking. And people have been very upset. And then it's like, then you don't belong here.
Right. Then if you can't handle a host at a comedy show making fun of you if you're also on the comedy show.
Yeah.
Don't do comedy.
I can't. Oh, man. It's
don't
like,
do it.
It's,
your skin isn't thick enough. They need to be raised in your family.
There's a part of me where it's like there's still like politically like very, very liberal. You know what I mean? Like I'm very liberal. But when it comes to comedy, I'm so like conservative in like a tough, hard kind of way.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's like, if you can't handle it, you shouldn't be here.
Right. You need to go back out. It's here specifically being the comedy store.
100%.
Because, you can chop your teeth in other areas that are, these safe spaces that are popping up.
Oh, absolutely.
Which FYI are not comedy.
No.
It's not comedy.
Mm.
Any place where you're like females only, gay guys only, the safe space, that's not a realistic representation Mm-mm. of what it's like out on the road.
Nope.
What it's like in real comedy clubs, or what you need in order to build that thick skin to sustain a type of career that is filled with rejection from 100%. Every fucking angle.
100%. Anytime I see
itch my tit.
Hilarious. There's times, I'll be in Los Angeles and you'll see comics from mostly the East Side or like just those very indie shows where they'll come and you can tell like they're very, I was like, you haven't been on the road. Like, you can do 15 minutes in a bar at a taco shop.
Right.
But can you do 15 minutes in Indiana opening up for fucking whoever the fuck?
Right. Can you evolve your set to sort of reflect the area you're in?
100%.
Can you write a new 5 minutes on the road to start with every night?
Yeah, 100%.
Because when you go into these markets,
it's tough.
You know, I like to have something about the place.
Yeah, you have to.
Something that I noticed.
100%.
Just getting from the airport to the place, there's always something.
Yeah, be a person.
What's up with this?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, having to open up, I've got to open up with Pauly's audience, and I've gotten to open up different audiences. So it's
really interesting.
Pauly Shore?
What is his audience?
His audiences are great. His audiences are always fun. He actually sells out everywhere still.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So it's like, his audiences are like people that know the store, and they come out and they're very like comedy savvy, or like people that know him from the movies and that just love him, and they just want to see him.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets kind of tough.
Is he stuck? Is he still doing the crowd pleasing stuff?
He's always going to do Pauly stuff. You know what I mean? But then there's also like audiences that are just like comedy audiences that love him and stuff. They all love him.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see like audiences that just want to see him. So then like I go up and I'm like, you guys give a fuck less about me.
It's but like I mean, opening for a musician.
Yeah.
Which like, never works for comedy. You're get off the fucking stage. We want Skinner. And you're like, okay.
I love shit like that. I love not easy spots.
Well, that's, I think that's when you, one of the evolutions of a comedian that I think is that right there where you start to love the more laborious and tedious shows that you do.
Absolutely.
You know, the ones where they're more challenging and you know, just figuring out the verbiage alone.
100%.
Like switching one word from one set to the other and being like, oh, that works better. Yeah. Or, you know, getting your ass handed to you and you're like, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you, you know, I'm always like, I don't know what went wrong. And then I listen back and I'm like, I sounded dead.
Yeah.
You know, you can figure it out.
Yeah. It's just, do you want to figure it out?
And do you want to put in the work?
Yes. It always boils down to the work. That's what I always preach to like any new comic that I meet or like anyone that's complaining about something. Cause I get in the same thing. I complain and I complain and I think it's like, oh, it's cause I know I'm not writing.
Yeah.
It's cause I know I'm not trying to make right. the steps forward or do anything.
Right. When you're frustrated, when you're having like these arguments with yourself, it's because, oh, I'm not doing the thing I need to do.
Yeah.
The real problem is in the work.
100%.
Yeah, Gary Goleman has this really great thing he's doing online.
The threads
on Twitter,
are amazing. Yeah.
Where he's doing like the tips.
Every time I always read his stuff, the thing that like, there's certain things that I read and I'm like, oh, damn, it's 100% about me.
Right.
Like that rings so true to me. Like he had done this one about how he was like, you never be seen too late. You can always be seen too early.
What does he mean by that? Like,
and in like showcases.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
I see.
I didn't get JFL like the past right. 2 years. And I just remember being like, I was like, and I was like, no, I'm going to be better next year. And then like, I work at the store. So I go to like the showcases and I hear like
what goes wrong,
what goes on. Or yep. like I see my friends that are like crushing it and then they get to go up and then like they tell me about like the other comics. Cause there's also like, it's very interesting to see like someone was telling me that
what'd you just think of?
I was like, I shouldn't say this, but I'm like, yeah, I'm
no, say it. I was talking crap last week.
They were on a showcase, and you know the comic is a beast. He's a beast. He's a really great comic, and he's one of my favorites to watch right now. He's just moved to Los Angeles, and when you know you're a beast, like when you've gotten better somewhere else, and you've come here, and you just know you got it, and you're just ready, and you're prepared, nothing phases you. Like a showcase, you're just ready. I get someone had said someone had to follow him. And was like, man, I didn't want to follow him just because, you know, he's really tough. He's hard to follow. And it's like, yo, if you're worried about following someone
you're
on a showcase, you shouldn't be
you're
in the showcase.
You're not ready. I mean, that's another big milestone in comedy where I remember like years ago, I was at the Gotham Comedy Club and the lineup, I was, you know, no one knew who I was. Mm-hmm. There's still people who don't know who I am. My mom's like, who are you? There was Lisa Lampanelli, Gaffigan, Todd Barry, Attell. Mm. I had to follow all those beasts at the check spot.
Ugh. Oh, it's the worst.
The check spot is when they're dropping checks and
doing math.
And you hear them going 23, 24, carry the 5. And you're just like, in that moment, I said to myself when I knew I was going up in the check spot, just don't bomb. Because I think sometimes comedians, our goals are a little bit beyond what our talent level is. 100%. And that's where having the realistic approach to like, what's my skill level?
Yes.
And what can I really accomplish
here?
Yeah.
What am I going to, like, it's like kind of like reading the room when you go in and you're like, all right. What is realistically the goal and
right.
what is like, because like if you set your goal too high and you see it on so many comics, like they come into a situation, they're like, oh, it's got to be here, and they go up and they get that first joke or second joke and it doesn't meet their expectation.
You can see them
calculating, you can see them start to go, but the room isn't bad,
no,
the audience is still great, the audience is still there and down, but it's like what they've perceived and like how they're thinking and their thought process, they've already fucked themselves.
Right. And so then they just keep, they're just in a deep vat of fuckery.
Yeah. Yeah. They're battling themselves at that
they
point.
Are
it's,
battling.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
that's
shit.
Usually what it is.
100%.
I mean, especially the place like the store, you can't be afraid to follow anybody.
Mm-mm.
That can't even be a thought in your Mm-mm. mind because it's going to be a Rogan.
Oh, 100%.
It's going to be a Callen
or
a Whitney or Diaz.
Or
like you're going to have to go up after these people and you have to just
go. You have to.
You just gotta go.
Yeah.
You know? And that's definitely something like after years and years you just sort of, you either think about it or you don't. When you stop thinking about it, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's one less stress in this whole process.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of dope to like go up after Rogan or Burr.
You feel it. I've had to follow Burr twice at the store. One was on Potluck, one was at some other show, like an independently produced show. And then he also had to follow me at a show. And there's nothing worse than someone following you that is amazing. Because like, I just remember being up there and I was like, all right, that wasn't that bad. And then like I get off stage and then like Bill Burr's walking past me. And I'm like, oh, he watched all of that. No! It wasn't good. Yeah. It's a, oh, God.
I did that once where I had a set and I ate a dick. I think it might have been at the store. I just had a really rough set someplace and I was so unhappy and I was thinking, like, listening and trying to figure out what I did wrong, and I made some changes, and the next night I was at the West Side Theater. And I really, like, you know, it was a great set. Yeah, like, all the changes I made worked, and I got off stage and, like, Adam Sandler was there, and Kevin, I think it was Kevin Nealon maybe was there, and just, like, walking past them and then being like, funny, it was really funny. You're just like, because it could have been the night before.
I can't pay my rent, but yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
You just, like, could have been the night before where you weren't really, you know, it's just, you never know what sort of outcome is going to happen. So you always got to have some sort of, you got to be over prepared.
Yeah. You never know what's going to, I remember the worst bomb I ever had was, it was right after Roast Battles at the Improv. I got to host a Death Squad show, and it was the Death Squad show that Seinfeld was popping in on. It was like the first time he came back to the Improv.
Which is such a weird combination.
Yeah, it was the first, he was a secret guest, he was just popping in, and like everyone knew, so it sold out. Like everyone was there. Like Lady Gaga, like her fucking manager. Yeah, everybody was there.
When was this?
This was like a year and a half ago.
Lady Gaga? Yeah. That's wild.
Because I think she was, I think at the time she was like, dating Seinfeld's manager or something like that. I just knew she, like, she had known they were like hanging out and stuff. And I just remember, like, it was supposed to be me, someone, then Seinfeld, right? And then it ended up being like, oh, he's got to go next, so you just got to do your 8-minute set and then just bring him up. And then I just remember being like, oh, god damn it, like, I should bring him up, like, I should do like 5 minutes and just bring him up, like, you know what I mean?
Bring him,
like,
right up.
Because it's like and then, like, he's standing there on the side so everyone can see him, right? See him waiting to go up, and then I'm like hosting, and yo, I fucking ate a dick.
The whole host set?
Whole host set.
Nothing landed?
Nothing landed. Like, nothing landed. And it wasn't like, it wasn't funny. It was just like, we're just waiting for Seinfeld. You know what I mean? And it was so, you could feel it. Like, I just, like, I could just get, I was so hot and it was just sweating.
Were
I think
you
I,
visibly sweaty?
Oh, I was visibly, it was visibly bad, right? And bring him up. He goes up and he has, like, a, you know, it's fucking Seinfeld.
Does
he has
do
a great
the tight 45 that he normally does?
He was, it was right before he was doing the special. He was, like, you know, running a few things. Yeah. So, like, every, you know, and I remember just getting off stage and feeling so shitty. Oh. And then Adam Egett, the talent coordinator of the Comedy Store, the guy who also hired me, comes up to me and puts his arm around my shoulder like a goddamn big brother. And he goes, you know what? It's okay. And he goes, at least Lady Gaga didn't see you bomb.
She wasn't there yet?
No. I didn't know she was there at the time. So I'm like, oh, what do you mean? I turn and she's in the fucking front, like, back row. Like, here's the front, like, little, like, and then there's, like, the back row, and she's in the front of the back row, just kind of looking at me.
Oh, God!
And not in, like, a...
Oh, she
but,
saw the...
Yeah, and, but in, like, a, just, like...
She's like, a star was not born.
Yeah, no, for real. It was like, she watched a star just die. Just fucking die and implode.
Star is forlorn.
Yeah. And it wasn't like she had, like, an angry look at me. It was just one of those looks, like... Yeah, it looked like she wanted to give me a hug.
Oh, no.
But didn't want to get up and give me a hug. Yeah, you know, it was like, it was not a good feeling. I was like, ugh. And then Paige, I, like, after I bring, like, so Seinfeld gets off, and I bring up the next comic, I get off stage. Paige, the manager of the Improv, who also saw it, comes up to me and goes, do you want to meet Seinfeld? And I'm like,
you're like, fuck, yeah. No.
I was like, yeah, of course, right? So I go up and she introduces me to Seinfeld and he completely forgot who I was. And I was just like, I was like, hey, I'm Frank. And it was good show. He said, oh, thanks, man. I was like, yeah, I'm hosting. He goes, oh, okay. And I was like, he was like, oh. And it was just kind of like, sweet.
That's almost worse than
yeah.
That's
he
almost
just,
worse than him critiquing your
100%.
Show.
100%. Cause it was like, it wasn't even like I bombed so bad that he remembered. It was just like I was so not good that he just kind of didn't even like. He just forgot.
Nothing stuck.
Nothing
to him.
Stuck. My bomb was.
You even bombed at bombing.
Yeah, I bombed at bombing. My bomb was so not memorable that he was like, "Oh yeah, no problem." I was like, "Ah, ugh."
That makes my cheeks hurt. Here, to make you feel better, I was at Gotham Comedy Club again a few years back when I was still bartending in New York, and. Pablo Francisco was headlining and Seinfeld was up to do a guest spot. He bombed most of his set. He did about 40 minutes and was bombing. Very, very bad. Mm-hmm. So much I was like in awe watching him, like, wow, here's this like comedy guru, this legend, and of course you have to bomb in front of everybody. And I, at one point during his set, he goes, man, who do I have to be to make you guys laugh? And the guy I was with, a friend, yelled out, the next comic.
Oh!
I told that story before on the podcast, but it still makes me melt.
Oh!
And I punched him and I slid down in the seat.
Oh, yeah. You're like, I have to leave right now.
I was like, I was like, good point, but don't ever say that shit. Like, piece of shit. You don't say that to Seinfeld.
I got a great Louis story. So Louis used to, he used to come to the store all the time, right? And I would always work the green room and stuff. So, like, he knew me because I'd work his green room and I'd, you know, do all that shit. And I'd always be the one that, like, work his show. So, like, we'd like have a few interactions, right? But I never wanted to be like, hey, we're fucking, yo, whoa, whoa. So Roast Battle season one happens, right? He's there for the taping and Just for Laughs. So he knows Tony, he knows like Olivia Grace, he knows all these people, right? And Todd Barry is in season two and he's best friends with Todd. So it's like, yo, he's gonna be there. And like, that was my favorite comic. Like I had all of his albums. Like that was my
Barry?
Dude. Louis. Okay, like Louis was one of my favorite comics growing up. Obviously before.
Jerking
yeah,
off.
Yeah. And I had no, yeah.
That's
so,
neither here nor there.
Yeah, yeah. So, so it's like, he shows up at the store. It's after the taping, all that jazz. It's like a few months, I think. And we're all just chilling there and he pops in, right? Oh, no, it's not a few months after. It's like, I think like a year or two after. And like, he pops in, right? And I always wanted to talk to him about it, but I never wanted to just come up to him and be like, hey, man, you know, Roast Battle, you know, because that's such a fucking lame ass thing to do. It's lame.
But it's something you achieved.
Of 100%. But I don't want to like show it to like my know. So like, I'm waiting for the opportunity. And he walks out, right? And he sees Tony Hinchcliffe and a few other people that did the Roast Battle. And he was just like, hey, you did Roast Battle. You were really funny. I loved your season. Right. And he's kind of talking. The people are like talking about Roast Battle. And I'm right there. I'm like, oh, yo, man. I was like, oh, I was like, yeah. I was like, I actually won season two. And he was just like, oh, thanks, man.
Thanks.
He thought I said I loved your season two.
Oh,
like as in
no.
Like season two of Louis or some whatever the fuck.
So awkward.
100%. But he didn't pick up that it was awkward. He was just like, oh, thanks, man. Like he took it like a genuine compliment. And then he just left. And like everyone else that was around me all knew what I said. They heard, they clearly got what I said, right? But none of them wanted to correct them. And I just watched all my friends just witness me just have an uncomfortable moment and then just take a step back.
Oh, fuck.
And just like sit in it. And I'm like, these motherfuckers. Fuckers. Dude, it was so funny.
No one stepped up.
No one stepped up. It was comedians. Hysterical. And then like they leave. So he leaves, right? And then Tony comes up and he goes, hey, man, I'm sure you'll be able to talk to it. You'll talk to him about it like eventually, right? The next day, the article drops.
What article?
The New York Times article.
Oh, about him.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, did he write an article about dissing you? Oh, you mean the one where he whipped his weenie out?
Yeah, yeah. So I never saw him again.
You're going to have another moment.
It was hysterical.
You're
going to
have
another
moment. I can't believe the next day.
It was The article drops.
That's fucking brutal.
I'm just like, I'll see him next time he comes to the store.
That's fucking brutal.
Oh, shit. Dude, it was hysterical.
What do you think about all that? I mean, everyone's drug it through the mud.
Oh, that
he's your top, right? He's your apex. When it comes
to
comedy.
He's my homie. I mean, we're best friends.
But
no.
If he's somebody, you know, you must have felt a certain type of way about.
Oh, it was very like it all happened. I remember just looking at my fiance and like she just looked at me and she's like shakes her head and she. I was like, I know exactly how like Bill Cosby fans feel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You
like,
feel let down.
Yeah,
but also.
You start trying. For me, it was definitely
you start to like justify.
You start justify. Start to rationalize it. Me and my fiance had conversations about the whole thing, and she was just like, I remember like by the second weekend, she was like, "You don't think you have like a little bit of a biased opinion?" And I'm just like,
"I don't know." Like I like to look at things very
100%.
Like as a woman and a female comedian, even though I can't stand that, a comedian who happens to have a vagina, sounds so much better to me. I know that there are certain situations. Just as a female that I can't put myself in.
100%.
You know, it's that sort of like learning as you go through life. Hey, if I put my hand on the fire, it's going to burn me. Mm-hmm. If I go down this dark alley, there could be a crazy crackhead.
100%.
Who might put something in my butt that I don't want.
100%.
You just sort of have these.
Do you have
like,
a lot of brothers?
No.
Do you have any like older cousins or anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was raped when I was younger. So just, you know, armed me with this sort of.
I've been ready. I got it.
I'm good.
I got. All right. Anyway, that was terrible.
So I just, you know, this sort of like card catalog of 100%. Moments that I should avoid.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do realize that maybe circumstance has provided me with that sort mm-hmm. of skill level.
100%.
But also, you don't necessarily have to be a scientist to know.
To see signs and stuff.
To see signs. 100%. Like, I get there's powers in numbers. So that the two girls went together.
Yeah. My mom was also like, my mom had a lot of brothers. So she also is very much that mindset.
And me, like, you just don't go in certain places.
Me and my fiance talk about it all the time where it's like people with brothers or older siblings, you they tend to have that. They have that. Or like an uncle because they have that. They drill right. that into you.
There is sort of a naiveness that exists.
Some people just
in
don't have that. And I get that. But it was like also like.
I feel like it was tough. A combination of a really bad moment for him and a terrible like lack of common sense on their part.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where it was like perfect timing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a bad recipe.
Yeah. And
but
then,
also, I feel like as adult women, we have to be responsible for our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not fair that if we're making certain choices that put ourselves in a predicament where it's not necessarily going to have a great outcome, that the only person who gets held responsible or has any accountability is the demon. It's not fair.
We talked about this constantly. You know what I mean? Like me and my fiance had this conversation.
I'm not saying pro jerk off.
100%.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Is that clear?
Yeah, yeah. These. I remember I was talking to another comic about this when I was saying how like I was like if we both were on the road together and had to sleep in the same room,
mm-hmm.
I was like, would you be okay with that? She was like, of course. I was like, I wouldn't. She was like, why not? And I was like, because I have a wife. I was like, it just looks weird.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, even on the other side of it, it's like, yeah, I can't, I would never, you know what I mean? Like even to smoke weed and stuff just because of the way things look.
It's the principle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the principle of the whole thing. So it just, I guess some people might say I'm like anti me too. I'm not. I'm just saying, I feel like a lot of these bitches are hopping on this hashtag bandwagon to get eyes and visibility when they haven't earned it.
Me and my.
Bitch really get, I was raped. Like, I'm not hopping on the Me Too shit.
Me and my fiance's friend's a huge advocate. And we talk about this all the time. Like, when the Me Too movement happened with, like, Hollywood, she's a lesbian. She's fucking LGBTQ, 100% works. Like, she's got all the badges and stuff.
Right. I want a rape badge.
Me and her get into disagreements all the time over, like, comedy and stuff. But, like, all the other issues were pretty much, like, pretty the same on. But her whole thing was, she was talking about, like, the whole Hollywood and all the women wearing the black dresses, and she was just kind of like, that shit doesn't impress me. She was like,
yeah.
She goes, what about the chicks in fucking everyday life at the Best Buy? She was like, oh, those bitches wearing $50,000 dresses.
They're wearing Vera Wang.
Helping anybody.
No.
She was like, in Hollywood, it's the worst. She was like, most of those people know shit. And I was just like, that's crazy.
Most of those people, a lot of those people were quiet during moments when they could have
been not quiet.
Been loud.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't a la mode to be loud then, but mm-hmm. now because there's a hashtag, it's cool,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you get an article written about you, and then you can hawk your book everywhere.
Yeah,
and I ain't gonna say who it is, but we all know
it's definitely like I feel like the voices that should be represented aren't being, and there's definitely a lot of, you know, there's certain kinds of people that definitely like hop on that shit and then just like, boom, let's make some money.
Yeah, let's make some money with this. Isn't Me Too cute on a shirt? Buy one. Key thinks.
My favorite was like 2 weeks after looking at a comic on Facebook, and she was just like, I have a show at the Laugh Factory, blah, blah, blah. And at the bottom was like, hashtag Me Too. And I'm just like, how are you? Like,
what?
That's not what.
That's not how you promo a comedy show.
That's also not how you use a hashtag. That's crazy. But you just, you know.
That's not where that hashtag goes. It's really not. No. You don't put that there. People know where not to put their dick
uh-huh.
and where not to put their hashtag.
That's hysterical.
Usually it's probably like maybe the same place.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just that's not how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the worst bombs you saw at the comedy store?
At the comedy store?
Yeah. I want the dirt. Or heckles, like a wild heckle. Because I feel like places like the comedy store, there's not a lot because people respect.
Yeah, yeah. We've had like fights happen at the store. Like I was there, the biggest fight happened in the room that I was working. It was actually really hysterical. We were sitting there and it was a bringer show. I can't remember whose it was. I think it was definitely the last one. and they had booked like a magician from like YouTube that was on it.
Oh, Jesus.
So literally five people showed up to this show. And it's the beginning of the show. We're one comic in, And like the front row is four dudes all wearing matching outfits, white. And just what the outfits, not that. Well, they were white, but the
white and white.
White and white. And the jeans were all ripped. They just look like douchebags. And they start like shouting, and it's a room full of five people. So I'm like, hey, man, you kind of got to keep it quiet. And he's like, fucking whatever. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I just tell security, I'm like, these guys are all fucking drunk. So they shout again. Security comes up to him, and he's like, hey, man, you kind of got to, you know, just kind of keep it, you know, just don't.
Just keep it cool.
Yeah, just don't be a dick.
Just,
and the guy like
show.
Turns and gives him the finger. And security's just like, all right, you're going to just get the other security guards. We're going to have to kick these guys out. So he like comes up, he's got to get out. And he's like, no, man, fuck you. And he like pulls the table out. I was like, come on, guys, you got to get out. You know, you guys are being disrespectful.
So, was there a comedian on stage?
Yeah. He was like, you know,
five
guys
people in the room.
Yeah. He's like, 10 minutes in the show, he's like, got to get out. So security guard moves the table, and the guy's sitting, and he lunges at the security guard, like takes him down, puts him against the wall. And all of us, that's when all of us rush, and like the other three guys jump, and they all start fighting. So we're all starting to like take them down and push them outside. The fight spills into the back parking lot, right?
On Rogan's car.
No, not on Rogan's car, right?
On Rogan's
security car. Security guards are fucking bored out of their minds here most of the time, and they're all really good at their job, yeah. Right? And the comedy club, not a lot of shit pops off. But
no,
when it does.
Like that.
No, but when it does, it does. So like the guy's like fucking just being a dick, and the security guard just like, pop, right? Gets him in the fucking,
but he karate
chop right in the fucking neck, right? And the guy like just what, and then he takes him down, he's holding him down, and then he holds the other guy down, and one of the other guys like he's got it, like one of the security guards got him in a headlock, and this other dude's like rushing, like the fourth guy starts rushing the security guard who's got his friend in the headlock.
Sounds like a Tom Cruise movie.
It was crazy. You know who Feng Chao is?
Yes.
He's a Chinese guy, right?
Yeah.
So he's parking the cars, right? He sees the guy run. Feng Chao just goes, boom. Like, oh,
he fucking.
No. Puts his arm out and just clotheslines the guy. Like, clean. Like, and it was insane. Because you didn't see Feng. He was just like by a car, and you just see him run out and just clothesline this dude. And they have it on tape. And it's just a
it's on tape.
Beautiful just clothesline. Perfect form. So like. These guys are getting arrested. Like, the cops finally come, and they're still fighting. Their shirts are all ripped. One of the dudes in a headlock. The guy that's in the headlock's trying to scream, so the security guard kind of lets him, like, release his headlock because the cops start coming, and he goes, do you know who my father is? And immediately the cops, like, look at him and go, oh, yeah, these are the problem. Like, they don't even let these guys talk. They just go up and start putting them in handcuffs.
Little entitled, ridiculous. Do you know who my dad is? An idiot for not pulling out.
So the comic who's the the magician comes down. He goes, hey man, I'm not gonna be banned, am I? And he goes, why? And he goes, those guys were here to see me.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, my question was gonna be, who brought the douchebag?
Yeah, he was like, I just posted on YouTube. He was like, I'm just a magician that was, he goes,
dude,
he's like, they just showed up to see me. And I'm like,
comedy and magic and YouTube, those things need to be by themselves. Those
magicians are assholes.
They need to be by themselves, damn it,
dude. It was ridiculous.
I never seen anything fun at the store. Have you seen the ghosts?
Have
you had ghost experiences?
I've felt weird, but I don't know if that's just me being like, oh, hi, this feels weird and stoned. Or if it was like, I remember being at the store and like lights will flash in your eyes and you'll like seize things and you'll like rationalize or whatever. But I've never felt like, oh, that's a ghost.
Justin Martindale swears that he got like fisted by one or something. There was like a ghost in there that was... I don't know if it was fisting or maybe just throwing shade. I don't know what was happening, but there's
a gay ghost.
A gay ghost.
Simone's got a great story about a ghost. I know. You remember Cody Morley?
No.
He's a comic that used to hang out for a little bit. So you know how the store in the OR, it goes late. It goes like two, three.
Yep.
Yeah. You know. Well, sometimes we just want to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes people pass out in the back booths to the point where they're lying on the booths and you can't see them under the table. You know what I mean? Because the tables are kind of... So Cody passes out in the OR, right? He wakes up at 3:30, 4 in the morning, right?
The place shut down?
Place was shut down. He's locked in the store. So when you're locked in the store, the only way you can get out is like through a window on the second floor. And all the... like they lock all the main rooms and the doors and stuff. So he said he woke up, it was freezing cold. He could see his breath, that's how cold it was. So he was just like, he was just so uncomfortable. So he's like trying to sneak out into the belly room, and he says the whole time while he's trying to sneak out, he was just so creeped out because he was like I didn't see anybody or anything, but it felt like people were there talking.
Oh, but I just like, got the chills.
But like
mean,
really
were
far away in the main room. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, it sounded like someone was having a conversation, but you couldn't hear what they were saying. It sounded like they were like in the main room or somewhere else. It was like he was just like, I had to get it. It was weird. Yeah.
Everyone talks about the Comedy Store being haunted.
Yeah.
It's definitely haunted with all of our terrible bombs.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's haunted with all the ghosts of our comedian Christmas past.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. Are you big? Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe that there's got to be some other...
Something.
Something. Yeah, yeah. You know, I've seen some stuff where I can't explain it, mm-hmm. you know, but I definitely think...
Mexicans hella believe in
ghosts.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, El Dia de los Muertos. Oh, my God. You guys have a whole holiday dedicated to asking your dead relatives to come back
100%.
And dance.
They don't believe in mental health, but they hella believe in ghosts.
They believe in the mental health of ghosts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You guys created a holiday, a mental health ghost holiday.
My fiance's got her master's in psychology, and she does like therapy now at like a hospital. And like my mom and her will talk, and my mom will just say wild shit, and my fiance will just be like, "I don't know what to do. Like, what do I say to her?" Like, she was asking her about her job, and she was like, "Yeah, you know, there's people like she works with like people that are having mental breakdowns and stuff." And like, so she was like, my mom was like, "That's fascinating. So, what do you do? Like, do you guys have like a priest on call?" And my mom was like, "For what?" She goes, "Well, how do you know it's not like a possession?" And my fiance
That's a good point.
I mean, right?
There could be an insidious moment.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know.
100%. And then
they used to think they were possessed. Mental illness, those were possessions. Yeah,
yeah. My fiance was just like, "I don't know." Like, she was like,
I don't know how I can answer that.
Like, they could
be possessed.
Yeah, maybe. She was like, "They don't have one. We should look into it." It was just ridiculous.
How do you
so
deal
funny.
With the possessions?
Oh, my God. And then she was like, my mom goes, "When do you think we'll be doing like therapy on like artificial intelligence?"
Your mom. Yeah. Did your mom smoke weed?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like your mom smokes weed. Yeah. I want to chill with your mom and your dad.
Yeah, my dream is for them to eventually move close to me so I could just do a podcast with them every
you
day.
You have to. I swear you need to do like a roast with your mom.
Yeah. I had a podcast for a little bit, and the first two episodes was one with my mom and then one with my dad, and it was hilarious because me and my dad, we like hung out, we did podcasts, and then we went to the store and like he came back and we're both fucking shit-faced.
And then podcast
again. Oh, yeah. It was hilarious. He was like, "I fucking love you." He was crying and shit. It was adorable.
I love you, too. Where can my people find you?
Frank C. Comedy on Twitter. Frank Castillo on Instagram.
What about in life?
Oh, at the Comedy Store. There every Tuesday and Mondays. But yeah, I'm usually just always at the Comedy Store. If not, I'm on the road.
You have any road dates coming up?
Yes. I'm going to be going out with Mo Ammer in June and July. I don't have the dates yet, but I know he just asked me, so I'm excited.
I'll put them up. I'll put the details
up. And then I'm going to be with Pauly Shore at the end of this month in Sacramento and Chino and Reno. I think the 21st through the 24th.
The Weasel! Frank Castillo, everybody.
Yeah.
Castillo. That's what my mom would say. Frank Castillo, you're great. You're absolutely a great giant. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I love you, brother.